Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
NYU, among other things, is known for not having a core campus, but a new plan might change that, or at least try. With us now is Laura Cusisto, real estate reporter for The Wall Street Journal, to talk about the university's expansion plan, the approval it received yesterday from the City Planning Commission, could now go to City Council, and why many Greenwich Village neighbors and even members of the university community don't like it one bit. Laura, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
So NYU has been trying to expand its campus for at least 5 years. What is the plan? What does the plan entail? It's called NYU 2031. How would it change the face of Greenwich Village?
Well, so as part of that plan, NYU wants to build about 2 million square feet on two sort of very controversial super blocks near Washington Square Park. And it would include a great new performance center for the Tisch Center. It would include 40 new classrooms, 7 new auditoriums, student dorms, all things that NYU is certainly pushing and saying that it needs. But on the other hand, it also entails sort of 20 years of construction, you know, four significant new towers in the village. And so that's really kind of riled a lot of residents who live nearby.
We should mention, I guess, that this is different from Columbia's conflict with its neighboring community, where Columbia is trying to push people out of their homes, push people out of their businesses, using eminent domain if they need to. This would all be done on land that NYU already owns and uses for its own purposes, correct?
That is absolutely correct, although I think part of what it's put it at odds with the village is that it also includes green space that's certainly used by a lot of members of the community in a playground and those types of things. So though NYU owns the land, it also certainly affects people who live nearby.
And is it going to be less accessible?
That's certainly a very contentious that's a big part of the debate. Certainly, village residents would argue that the construction of these buildings would sort of wall off that space from the rest of the community. NYU, of course, is responding that it's creating, you know, acres of new acres of space, and so that's sort of a big part of the back and forth.
So, listeners, NYU community members, Greenwich Village community members, anyone else, 212-433. WNYC, for, against, or mixed this very controversial plan to expand NYU's footprint. 212, or not really its footprint, but in a way it's airprint. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And, yeah, airprint, but also earthprint, because NYU wants to erect 4 new buildings. I gather that they wouldn't be any taller than 26 stories, which is still high for Greenwich Village, but they have some a high dorm or two there now. But that more than half of the new space would be underground.
That's right, yes. And part of what city planning sort of urged NYU to do is actually also sort of reduce some of that space, which will also help sort of create less disruption to the green space.
And what about the height of the buildings? How much is that an issue?
That certainly has been an issue for members of the community, and that was a big part of city planning's decision yesterday. They approved the plan, but one of the things that they did was sort of require NYU to reduce the heights of 2 of the buildings, which does have sort of the effect also of potentially making them wider, but at least sort of will, in the eyes of village residents, not sort of tower over the community so much.
And from the university's perspective, they're saying that, look, they only have about half the amount of space per student as other major universities. So this is a way for NYU to alleviate overcrowding, and the kind of space that they're looking for is just necessary for a modern major university. That's their argument, right?
Right, exactly. They have gotten sort of faculty members to tell me stories about, you know, for example, Tisch students who are performing downtown and then have to get on the subway at midnight and make their way back up to campus, and then, you know, if they live nearby and then kind of get into class the next morning. Or there are apparently stories about, you know, labs being held at 11 o'clock at night because that's the only time they can get lab space. Certainly, it's worth noting that there are also faculty who strongly disagree with that. But yes, that's certainly NYU's argument.
Of course, nobody forced NYU to expand from 5,500 students 20 years ago to more than 12,000 today.
No, they certainly didn't, although I think that most people would certainly acknowledge that having a major sort of world-class institution, another one along with Columbia in the city, has certainly been good for the city. The question is how you sort of balance that with the needs of the community that immediately surrounds it.
All right, let's go to a caller. And this is, I believe, a faculty member who's been organizing against the plan or active against the plan. Patrick, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Thanks so much, Brian, for taking my call. I'm a member of a faculty group called NYU Faculty Against the Sexton Plan, and we have over 400 members of the NYU faculty who are strongly concerned about the damage that the plan could do not only to the neighborhood, but to the university itself.
Why?
We're worried about, I live in Washington Square Village on one of the two blocks. We're facing 20 years of construction on two blocks in which 40% of the NYU faculty live. In addition to the environmental concerns, there's been very little transparency from the administration about how they're going to pay for what, by their own account, is going to be a $3.5 to $4.5 billion expansion plan. I agree with your speaker. We all know that NYU has a space crunch. But many of the faculty are gravely concerned about the massive scale of this plan. We all know we're short on space, but over 34 departments and divisions of the universities have passed resolutions opposing the plan, many of them unanimously, including the Stern Business School and the Economics Department. We're just worried about what the scale of the plan could portend for the financial future of the university.
Patrick, thank you very much. And we'll go to another caller in a minute as we talk about NYU's expansion plan approved by the City Planning Commission yesterday with Laura Cusisto, real estate reporter for the Wall Street Journal. On that last point, Laura, they're worried, skeptics are worried about the effect on tuition, which, of course, is going up everywhere very fast. But if this is really going to be a financial burden on the school, then it's going to, I guess, put downward pressure on faculty salaries, staff salaries, upward pressure on tuition. Does the university cost it out in a different way than our caller did?
I think one of the, very legitimate frustrations of faculty and of reporters is that we haven't gotten a really well laid out business plan from NYU. They haven't really released in a lot of detail their sort of the way that they intend to pay for this expansion. And I certainly think that there is a lot of pressure on NYU to do that because, as you say, otherwise it becomes a question of how does this get paid for? NYU does not have a large endowment like Columbia does. And so I think that's going to be one of the big questions that they're probably going to need to answer, not necessarily a planning question, not necessarily one that City Council can demand that they answer, but it's certainly one that will be a big concern for members of the community.
Let's take a call from, I think, a supporter of the plan, Max, in the Village. You're on WNYC. Hello, Max.
Yeah, hi. Listen, I can't speak to the objections that this faculty guy had about the NYU expansion, but I'll tell you, I've been living in this neighborhood for 35 years, and I'm in favor of everything NYU is trying to do. These community board people, they're in existence just to object. Anything NYU tries to do, they come up and scream. Well, I can tell you that I remember when this neighborhood, you couldn't walk to the corner without dope guys selling you stuff, smoke. And NYU has done a million things to improve the neighborhood. It's safer, it's lit up at night. The park is beautiful. There are more visitors than ever. And I think that I don't know about the faculty, but this community board down here ought to take a hike and stop objecting to everything that the school is trying to do.
Max, thank you very, very much for your call. So, Laura, how many Maxes do you think are out there? Maybe older residents of Greenwich Village in general. I don't know if that's the way to categorize, but he talked about a historical perspective, or, you know, people who think that the community board may be just part of the old New York tradition of obstructing development because they don't like development. How much of either of those things do you think obtains?
Well, as somebody who covers planning, I have to say this is the absolute biggest challenge of my job, right? Which is that the people who are not upset are just the people who are almost impossible to find, right? They're sitting in their apartments, and they're not out there, and they're not at community board meetings, and they're not at the City Planning Commission complaining. And so it's always really tough for us to get a read on it. I certainly did spend some time when I was working, when I've been working on stories, walking around the community and talking to people. And my sense is that the community is generally split, but that there also are bigger concerns than just the expansion, that there are a lot of people who feel that restaurants and bars in the area have been taken over by students, and that their neighborhood has sort of lost some of its character. And I did feel like that was certainly a bit of a widespread feeling amongst people, even those not living immediately around the super blocks.
By the way, a few people are calling in to say that this isn't all NYU's land that they would be building on. Let's take Eve on Bleecker Street on that. Hi, Eve.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Yes, you're right. The property in front of Cole building, the sports building, is not NYU property. It belongs to the city. When we bought our apartment at 88 Bleecker Street, which faces the Cole building, we thought that there would always be that setback. The property belongs to the city, not to NYU. NYU is planning to build a huge building that they call the Zipper Building, which will deny us light and views. It's really a terrible idea, and that's what I'm calling about.
Eve, thank you for that. Laura, can you confirm that about some city-owned land there and the widespread nature of the concern about light and air?
Yeah, as I understand it, it gets a little bit complicated, but the super blocks, there is, I believe, some component of city-owned land, and certainly there's a bigger objection that people feel that when the city gave NYU this land in general, they argue that it was supposed to be sort of preserved with open space in perpetuity, and so that's definitely part of the debate. And certainly, in terms of light and air, I think there are few people. I would think that NYU would agree with this, that there's certainly going to be an effect on light and air. Certainly, there's a widespread consensus that there will be. But that, again, I mean, what the City Planning Commission tried to do in requiring these reductions is to minimize that impact.
Paul in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul. Paul, my error, we got you now. Hi.
Hi, how are you, Brian?
Good.
I wanted to make a comment about what Fordham's doing with their super block on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, because they're adding almost 2.5 million square feet onto their super block space, which is a similar issue that I guess we're having with the NYU super block.
Where, over there behind Columbus Circle?
Behind Columbus Circle and adjacent to the campus for Lincoln Center.
Okay.
They're putting in two very large buildings, and their argument is that basically in order to be competitive, they need to build these buildings. The issue for them is not one of being competitive as a university. It's just that they would like to have the desirable space in Manhattan because, as they're finding, as they compete for students, a lot of students don't want to be in the Bronx. They want to be in Manhattan. That's why Columbia and NYU are more attractive universities.
Because the main Fordham campus is in the Bronx.
Yes. So they're building a campus here for residential dormitories, for additional classroom space on their super block. And a lot of people are complaining that what they're doing is they're enclosing what was supposed to be open space, and they're financing it by selling parcels of land that belonged on the super block that were supposed to be for open space to developers to put in 50-story tower residential buildings.
And I don't want to get too further down in the weeds about Fordham's situation in particular. We could come back to that in a future segment. Do you think something ties this together with NYU?
Well, I just think that the universities are basically—I don't want to say stonewalling—but they're running through the development plan process, saying that these things help the city because they're international universities of stature, and therefore the city should welcome the fact that we're expanding to increase our student body.
Mm-hmm. Paul, thank you very much for your call. And I guess the context, Laura, for NYU as an institution, if we really step back, you know, and look from 30,000 feet, is that the university president, John Sexton, has been working hard to take the school from its current position of number 33 of the best national universities. I don't know if that's the U.S. news ranking or wherever that comes from, to move it closer to competing with the top 10. And over recent years, this has included opening up 12 international study abroad sites, including United Arab Emirates, Ghana, Australia. Most notably, opposition to the Abu Dhabi campus was from students who were angered that money was being used to open new campuses instead of going towards financial aid. So does this expansion plan create even more tension between the school and its student populations? And does it really kind of, you know, tie into a larger vision of NYU in the future that the school is trying to pursue?
Yeah, so I guess the answer to the first part of your question is yes, absolutely. I walked around, talked to some students who go to NYU, and there is definitely some pushback from students who say, well, our existing facilities are already in terrible shape. Why not put money into upgrading those now? There are definitely students who are saying, we don't have a big endowment, and so our tuition is already not as well subsidized as some other institutions. Mm. Why not put it towards that, bring in the best students? So there's absolutely that feeling. But then I do think, and this is certainly John Sexton's argument, that in terms of NYU's long-term success, that those are sort of short-term solutions, but in terms of NYU's long-term success, if they don't have proper facilities, if the facilities continue to deteriorate, that does affect people's decision about where they go. For example, if I'm a first-year student and I know that I'm not going to be living on campus, but I'm going to be living out in Brooklyn and commuting in or something like that, that I think has a big effect on whether I choose that school or somewhere else.
And I guess the next step is that City Council will vote on the plan in July, and so opponents will have one last chance to voice their disapproval, right?
Absolutely, and as they certainly are, I think they see that this is their sort of last ditch, and they're I think we'll have a very sort of hear lots of strong opposition over the coming weeks.
Laura Cusisto, real estate reporter for the Wall Street Journal. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And from one elite New York educational institution to another, coming up next, another school comes to grips with allegations of past sexual abuse. This time, it's the New York private school, Horace Mann.